website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We look forward to the dialogue and discussion that we'll have with you, our audience, today. As we face the issues, let me remind you that our entire program, our entire broadcast, is based upon a Q&A format. That Q&A means we ask the questions and you call in and give the answers, your responses, your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today, what is free speech? We'll be talking about that along with some other things as we interview a very special guest today, one that we've had on a number of times on Let's Face the Issues. I always enjoy his dialogue and discussion about the pertinent issues facing Florida and facing our nation. I asked the question about free speech simply because of a special article that I've just read. This is just part of what we'll talk about today. This article says, over one-third of Democrats believe that Americans have too much freedom, end quote. Just over one-third of the Democrats Democrat voters think Americans are too free, according to the most recent poll issued released on Friday. The survey found that 34% of the Democrat voters believe that Americans possess too much freedom compared to just 14.6% Republican voters. Although the overwhelming portion of the U.S. voters believe that freedom of speech protections are beneficial, 52% of Democrat voters believe it is important that the government be able to censor all users and content of all social media platforms it feels may threaten our national security. And I could go on and on. That sets the stage. Over one-third of the Democrats believe that Americans have too much freedom. Is that so? Do we find anything codified in our Bill of Rights? Do we find anything in the God-given rights and freedoms that we have that our founding fathers codified in our Bill of Rights that would say there's a limit to our freedoms and the free speech that we have in America? We're going to talk about that, among other things, today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Truth Book, the Bible. I don't know about you, but I recall less than 100 years ago, growing up in Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, and we'd sing the song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. I don't know if you're old enough to recall that or not. I happen to be, and I have always said that we need to go back to the Bible, have a central biblicist worldview of what is taking place in America, what's taking place locally, nationally, and globally. If we could look at it through the prism of the Word of God, it'd make a vast difference in our life and our living in America today. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And I believe that. I believe that it is something that we need to cling to, tenaciously, hang on to. Yet we find today in the modern society in which we're living in, the woke culture that we're wading through today, we find some 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age groups, say this, their statement is each person determines their own version of truth. Is that possible? Is there different versions? Would there be different versions of truth, ladies and gentlemen? I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth, even to death. That's my mantra. That's my mandate. That's what I believe we ought to use as the guide for living. But yet we're in a society today that's very much like George Orwell, the secularist, claimed would take place in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, where Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be exactly truthful today. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what is truth, defend it even to death. One of the grave issues, I believe, today is fought over truth. What is truth? How do you decide what is true? If it is in the social media area, if it is in the realm of civil government, if it's in the realm of theological, doctrinal, biblical truths, there always be those that will deny, reject, refuse, and diss what is truly true. We need to stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the brands like Honda and Echo for the homeowner. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And they have, that is, Tools for Time, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole. On that flagpole flies 24/7, the U.S. flag, Old Glory. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, among other things, this is the key intro to our broadcast and our show today. What is free speech? What is free speech? We have the religious liberties and the freedom of speech codified in our Bill of Rights. But God gave us free speech. It is a God-given right codified in our Bill of Rights. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, Amendment number 1 says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that mean, abridging the freedom of speech? It's very much like the sound that you find in the Second Amendment, where there should be no infringement of our Second Amendment. Abridgment of the freedom of speech is literally saying that there ought not to be any laws, any rules, any regulations that would mollify or in any way qualify what we call freedom of speech. Now, I know we've already said many, many years ago that you can't scream fire in an elevator. I'm not talking about things of that nature. I'm talking about our freedom of speech. The Biden administration, the Biden family cabal, the Biden treason, this family, do they have the right to censor our speech? Do we have responsibility or the obligation to live in a suppressed society where the government determines what we can say and what we cannot say, what we can drive, what we cannot drive, what kind of washing machine or dishwasher or ceiling fan we can use and what we cannot use, how much money can be spent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's some of the things, just a few of the issues that we're watching go into play today. Look at another headline. A fight erupts over a state law criminalizing political speech. A fight has been launched by the Liberty Justice Center and the Upper Midwest Law Center over Minnesota law that now criminalizes political free speech. Governor Tim Walz, a leftist in Minnesota's politics, a few months ago signed into law a plan from the legislature that includes a provision allowing the state to prosecute anyone who expresses disfavor and disfavored opinion about Minnesota's voting laws within 60 days of the election. The lawsuit charges that this violates Minnesotans' free speech rights by outlawing speech about undecided legal questions. Further, the article states, the case in federal court in Minnesota charges that the lawmakers simply decided to ignore the requirements of the U.S. Constitution when they adopted their plan to pursue the criminalization of political discussion about elections. The complaint seeks the court's declaration that the state's speech code violates federal laws and the U.S. Constitution, as well as injunction prohibiting the state from enforcing its speech code. There's no justification, this writer says, for this prior restraint on free speech, according to the complaint, the charges, and the responses. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the scripture, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I've said more than one time, I believe we're in the state of mourning in our nation today. And it's part and parcel as a result of the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, and the Marxist media, along with the Biden cabal that's trying to destroy the free speech, the religious liberties that we have in America today that's made America great as a nation. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, just before we introduce our special guest today, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, one final thing may I say to you. I believe it's frightening to hear about the socialist, Marxist, Democrats believing that Americans have too much freedom. So just who should be the arbiter of that? Who should be the judge? Who would make the final determination of what freedoms we can have and what freedoms must be in some way capsulized and canceled without any authority, the Bill of Rights? Who makes the decision on how to reduce or eliminate some of those freedoms that we have? I believe it's sad to see an example. Let me give you this example. Senator John Fetterman in the U.S. Senate, one person, wants to dress like a hobo or a bum with his hoodie, his short pants, and flip-flops. He has now set the standard in the U.S. Senate as to a dress code. We find today that one person has now changed what is permissible in the U.S. Capitol. Recently, in fact, I was fascinated watching on early morning news, some renowned reporter, and I don't even know what paper or reporting agency he was with, went into some of the most prestigious elite restaurants in the D.C. or New York areas. I've forgotten which it was. He was in flip-flops, short pants, and a hoodie, and he wanted them to seat him. Without exception, every prestigious restaurant that he went in said there's a dress code before you can be seated, would not allow him to be seated, would not seat him or serve him. And yet today in the U.S. Senate, there's a diminishing of anything that be called a dress code, single-handedly decided by Chuck Schumer to allow John Fetterman to simply wear his short pants, his baggy short pants, his flip-flops, and his hoodie. Is that freedom? What are we talking about when we say we have standards that needs to be met? Today we see the BLM, the LGBTQ, and other Marxist ideas having priority over the basic constitutional liberties, the free speech, the religious liberties. Why is it so? Simply put, I believe it's because we've become silent, much too silent, as conservatives, as Christians. So I want us to understand, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, what we should do, how we should respond in relationship to what we see taking place in our nation today. The Biden administration today, ladies and gentlemen, is in a flurry of frenzy, and I believe it's set up to be a smokescreen to prevent we, the people, from knowing and understanding the depth and the breadth of the violation of our constitutional republic by Joe Biden as VP and now as president in the selling of America. I believe all that we're watching with all these other things are simply distractions to prevent us from seeing what is taking place. May I say to you, as we see these events happening, we need to recognize that there's something taking place that's unusual. Looking at the headline, the GOP forced to intervene again as Democrats demand that Donald Trump be excluded from the 2024 election ballot. We're going to talk about this and several other things that all have the centrality and the focus on our liberties and our Bill of Rights. How should we, as Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, it's my delight to introduce to you our special guest today. We have had Congressman Hill with us before. It's always a joy. It's always enlightening. It's always a delight to hear his position on many of these issues. I like to call on him when it comes time to look at and analyze some of the major events taking place in America and in the state of Florida, because he has such a sharp mind, such a poignant opinion and position on these issues that I believe we need to listen to and understand what he is telling us. So today we have Congressman Mike Hill, the former District 1 representative for the Florida House of Representatives. Welcome, Congressman Hill, to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It is always an honor and a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, it's a two-way street. It's always a blessing for us. I know it is for me, and I pray that it is for our listeners each and every day as we face the issues and hear from you on some of these issues. Congressman Hill, you've heard my monologue, and that's just a little bit of where we're going today. Tell us in the monologue, what are your thoughts about placing limits on free speech? Should we as Christians, should we as conservatives, should we as patriots cave in and surrender any of our freedoms, especially our freedom of religion and the free speech? Tell me your thoughts in general, and then point out what we, the people, need to do in relationship to what is happening in our great nation.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, the answer is obviously no. We should not surrender any of our freedoms. And these freedoms were merely codified in our Constitution, but they were granted to us by our living God. Mm-hmm. It is God who says that you have the right to speak, that you have the inalienable right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It does not come from our government. The government has no right to even attempt to try and take it away from us. When we have the ability to speak our mind, that is freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, our Constitution merely codified these inherent, inalienable rights. We have them. They are ours. Even before we were born, they belong to us, such as the right to life. That is why it is so wrong to murder, to extinguish a child that is in the womb. It was John Adams who said that our Constitution, which codifies a lot of what God has given to us, that this Constitution is suitable only to a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to any other. So it is only people who have a God-centered worldview as opposed to a secular worldview who will even adhere to the precepts of the Constitution. And that's why you see so many on the left who hold the secular worldview who are willing to violate our God-given and constitutionally codified rights.
It is sad but true. Further in that article that I touched on a moment ago, Congressman Hill, the headline again for the benefit of our listeners, over one-third of the Democrats believe that Americans have too much freedom. This article states approximately 75% of Democratic voters believe that the government should be able to censor social media content, according to the recent polls. This article states Democratic lawmakers recently attempted to censor Democratic presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. by removing him from a hearing focused on censorship back in July. But the article states 9 in 10 voters of America think that the U.S. The First Amendment protections for freedom of speech is a good thing, whereas the majority of the Democrats think that there should be limitations. Now, with that being said, and I know it's kind of redundant, who would be the arbiter? Who would be in the position as it would be viewed through the eyes of the socialist Marxist Democrats that you would think that would have the insight or the wisdom, as they would call it, to decide on which of us can say what and when and where? We've already had, and you can respond to this part of my diatribe in question, the courts have already ruled that Joe Biden had overstepped his bounds in controlling the social media back in the 2020 and 2022 elections. But now recently, Gorsuch and John Roberts on the U.S. Supreme Court have modified that, and they put it on hold until there can be further hearings. That their thinking is that maybe Biden has that authority to censor free speech. What is your position on that? How should we view any thought like that coming out of the Supreme Court?
It's sad, Dr. Youngblood, that we have some on the Supreme Court who appear to live in this bubble, who don't live in the real world, who look instead at things through theories and suppositions and it just in this cloud and it messes up their thought process, where instead of just looking at something simply and basically the way it should be, it is obvious that the president does not have the authority to remove speech from social media, especially only those that are in opposition to him. Now you're talking about a political suppression of your opponents, and that's exactly what it is. Why that should even be a thought to these two so-called conservative, everyone knows John Roberts is not, but Gorsuch, who was appointed by Trump, was thought to have been a conservative justice, and he's not. He flip-flops all over the place. You never know what you're going to get with him. In fact, you never know what you're going to get with most of the Supreme Court, except for Clarence Thomas and Alito. Those two you can depend on because they are true constitutional conservatives. They abide by their oath of office. They don't abide by what is necessarily popular with the public at that time. And so when you look at who, to answer your question, Dr. Youngblood, who is going to be the arbiter of what is considered to be free speech, according to those on the left, is going to be whoever has the power to do it. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly antithetical to what our Constitution is all about. The Constitution is to put the power in the hands of the people, not with an institution, not with our government.
You're exactly right. Now, with that being said, from the standpoint of the Christians and conservatives, the number of Christians, multitudes of conservatives, and pastors and churches and religious leaders that have had the mantra for years and years and years, if the government says it, we need to obey it, we need to submit to it. Are there any caveats to that? Are there any exceptions to that general rule? And what really would be our responsibilities as Christians with the subject we're talking about?
Yes, Dr. Young, but a lot of those in the church, let me not say a lot, but many in the church will cite Romans chapter 13, to obey the government, that they are there because God put them there, and that if you do well, you don't have to fear the government, but if you do wrong, then they have been given the sword to correct you. So we should obey our government. What they don't recognize is that if the government is wrong, you are obligated to not obey, that you need to look instead at the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, which brings the power down to the level of the people, not to one individual. Caesar was a, Nero in particular, that Caesar, was a horrific person. He was insane, killed members of his own family, murdered Christians mercilessly. And are we as Christians, the new church, or were we to obey every edict that he said simply because he's in charge? No. And it's the same with today. When the government is wrong, when they go against God's law, yes, when they go against God's precepts, we are not to obey them. We are to instead obey what God's word says.
Congressman Neil Jakes, just exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, the former representative in the Florida House for District 1. Congressman, we've got just a few minutes, just a few short minutes before the top of the hour news break. Let me tuck in a change of direction for a moment. And my question is very, very succinct. I could dress it up with an elongated introduction to the question, but should Joe Biden be impeached? That's being talked about now in the U.S. House. And just for your information, our listeners, I'm against an impeachment inquiry, either impeach or not. What are your thoughts? Why should that be done? What is going to be the outcome? And the general thoughts, start us out on that answer, and then we will take a break for the news and come back and complete your thought.
I agree with you, Dr. Youngblood. There should not be an impeachment inquiry. If there is evidence there for an impeachment, then you simply proceed with the impeachment hearing. All the inquiry does is stretch out time, give this Biden regime more time to get to the 2024 election and to politically persecute those on the right, in particular, Donald Trump. So no, there should not be an inquiry. That is, I think, a move by the Republican in name only, Speaker of the House, McCarthy, to simply extend more time into giving this Biden regime eligibility to continue to persecute President Trump.
Absolutely. That's my thoughts exactly. One of the things that we see in that extra time, I believe it gives Biden time to cover his tracks, to develop false witnesses, and to try to extricate himself in some fashion in doing so. Congressman, hang on with your thoughts for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We're going to have the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville, WAYL, St. Augustine, WATY, Folkestone, Georgia, online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The latest GOP presidential primary debate, it's on for tonight at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. Seven candidates will be on the stage. Former President Trump will not be among them, though, opting instead to go to Detroit, where he'll deliver a speech on this 13th day of the autoworkers' strike. U.S. Army Private Travis King, he sprinted into North Korea from South Korea a couple of months ago, is now reportedly in American custody. A couple of unnamed officials say he was handed over to the U.S. in China, this shortly after North Korea announced it was going to expel King. The House overnight debated a package of stopgap bills to fund the government beyond the Saturday deadline. And retailer Target closing nine stores in four states, citing violence and theft as reasons for the pending closures. The Dow down 3 points. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today is Congressman Mike Hill, the former representative of District 1 in our Florida House. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Our basic thought today and question, what is free speech? Should it be limited? Should there be limitations? Should the federal government, should the Biden administration, should the Marxist media have a control over our First Amendment right with the religious liberties and freedom of speech? The number of issues that are the tentacles that go out into that question that we're dealing with today, one of those being, do we have the freedom of speech? Do we have the freedom to go onto social media and say what we want to say? Do we have the freedom to go before a school board and challenge the school board when they're teaching porn to our kids and grandkids in the classroom? Do we have the freedom today to challenge the election and the end result of the 2020 to 2022 election? Should that be codified in some fashion as to being some limit on our free speech? We're talking about that and other things that deal with what I call our Bill of Rights and the constitutional issues therein. We have Congressman Hill with us. Congressman Hill, before the break, we were talking about a question. Should Joe Biden be impeached, or should there just simply be an impeachment inquiry? you were talking about that just before our news break, and you had a statement to make that I'd like for you to restate for our listeners in relationship to your opinion and your position on what needs to be done.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. What I was saying was that the House Republicans should not be doing an impeachment inquiry of President Biden, but instead should go directly to the impeachment process itself. Mm-hmm. That all the inquiry does is give Joe Biden more time, extends time for him to continue attacking President Trump. It allows him to continue this political persecution of his opponent. And I believe what Speaker McCarthy is trying to do is simply run out the clock before we get to 2024, mm-hmm. because he probably believes that Biden is not going to be running for office again. He's incapable of doing that physically. So I think that this whole idea of just having an inquiry, which, as you know, Dr. Youngblood, will take months to mm-hmm. complete. But there have already been two House committees which have gathered ample information. I haven't seen it all, and I don't believe the public has seen it all, but we have seen snippets of what they have gathered. And it all points to a president who has committed treason mm-hmm. against this country in terms of taking bribes from foreign nationals, from setting up his son in a position to where he receives millions of dollars from foreign nations that Joe Biden then receives a portion of. But it's not just his son, it's the entire Biden family, where they have set up all these shell companies to receive these illicit funds from all over the world. And these two different House committees have uncovered all of this information. That was the inquiry process right there, uncovering the information. And how long did that take them? They started last year. And so here we are now where they should begin the impeachment process based on the information they have already gathered. Not just because the Speaker of the House, McCarthy, who is not a conservative.
That is right.
Anyone whose eyes are open just a smidget can see he is not a conservative. He should never have been selected Speaker of the House. And I go on to predict this, Dr. Youngblood, that those Republicans who are holding out right now, and I know this is a bit off the subject, holding off right now on this spending issue, that should we continue to spend the United States into oblivion, that they are holding out off this continuing resolution, wanting to make the idea that we no longer give money to Ukraine or that we secure the border, that, again, this is just a political charade. They're going to cave, and we're going to see the same thing happen that we always see, a continuing resolution with spending still spiraling out of control.
Absolutely. I commend Matt Gaetz, by the way, in his tenacity in standing against continual resolution, the CRs, as they call it. They want to kick the can down the road until next April, I think the date was that they said. Why do that? And I think it's just as you said, it's a mindset somehow, some way, that we need to cave. In fact, many perhaps do not recall it was Speaker McCarthy that was in part of the, I call it the group, that prevented Donald Trump from accomplishing what he wanted to accomplish in his first election. Because we had the House, we, the conservatives, Republicans, had the House, had the Oval Office, had the Senate, and yet much of what Donald Trump wanted to accomplish, Kevin McCarthy and others, including Mitch McConnell, prevented those things from taking place. I believe they hate Donald Trump. And here they are willing to bow and bend on this. In fact, it gets me to the question, Congressman Hill, what's wrong with shutting the government down? will the world come to an end? Are you familiar with the fact, and maybe I'm sure you are, and our listeners may not be, during the Reagan administration, they shut the government down, I believe it was 6 times. The world didn't come to an end. I believe that we have relief if the government is shut down. What is your position on that, and how should Christians view it? And all that we talk about and all that we look at, I always like to go back to an apologetic on that, is to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. How should the saints, i.e. the Christians, view what's happening? Should we be afraid of it? Should we bow and bend and expect Kevin MacArthur to continue down the trek that he's on? Or should we take a stand, as Matt Gaetz is taking, and saying, unless we do this, unless we cut the spending, unless we stop sending dollars to the Ukraine, we're not going to pass any bill, spending bill, or budget, or CR. What are your thoughts in general? I know that's a broad scattergun question.
No, I agree with you, Dr. Youngblood, in that there's nothing wrong with shutting down this government. This bloated bureaucracy, which has its tentacles in almost every aspect of our lives. But what the left will always scream, that if we shut down our government, then that means that Social Security checks won't be mailed out, which is a lie. Of course they right. will. That our military will not be paid, which is a lie. Of course they will. But they never say that Congress will not receive their checks. They still get paid every 2 weeks. I say if it means shutting this government down to stop its out-of-control spending, then let's do it. It's time for us to stop caving to the left, stop caving to the communists, mm-hmm. and instead stand firm, stand strong, and call their bluff on it. But I don't think we're going to see that happen, Dr. Youngblood. I'm sorry for being so cynical. Even someone who is trying to be so strong as Matt Gaetz, I think what he is doing is more grandstanding than anything else. He's trying to get publicity, notoriety for when he wants to run for governor. But even he is going to cave in the end. A lot of people don't know this, but Matt Gaetz was the deciding vote in a committee in the House which could have stopped Obamacare in his tracks when Trump was president.
That's right.
But instead, he voted against it, and his rationale for it was that he wanted it to go over to the Senate so that the debate and discussion could continue. Wrong. He should have voted to stop Obamacare, which is, by the way, unconstitutional. We should never have that monstrosity as part of our financial system, and our healthcare system should not be there. But we're going to see the same thing this time, Dr. Youngblood. We're going to see that these principled conservatives are going to cave to the pressure which comes to them from all fronts, not just from the left, not just from the media, and not just from rhinos, but from the establishment and even Republicans in the House who call themselves to be conservatives. I experienced it when I was in the Florida State House, Dr. Youngblood. They are getting pressure from all angles with this threat that unless you cave and give in, we will run someone against you in the primary, we'll fund them heavily, and you won't be back. So are you going to play ball or what? So they can grandstand all they want up until the 11th hour, and then they cave so that they can stay in office. We've seen it time and time again, Dr. Youngblood.
You're so exactly right. And that's what's so disconcerting to me, is to find the so-called conservatives that will take a stand, and they will have a lot of media coverage, and they're hyping their position. And then when it comes to the 11th hour and the 59th minute, then all of a sudden they cave. And I'm concerned about that's where we're headed in this, and I'm concerned about it. Changing gears for just a moment, Congressman, I'm looking at a headline. Hospital system imposes COVID vaccine mandate for all healthcare workers. A nationwide hospital system has just announced and introduced a draconian vaccine mandate for all healthcare workers across multiple states. The healthcare giant announced that all workers are now required to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. The mandate includes those already vaccinated and already boosted with previous shots. Workers were also warned that failure to comply to this new mandate would result in the termination of their work. This article further says the largest healthcare system in the country, over 50 hospitals, 1,000 clinics, 120,000 employees are now making the demand. The Providence Health System operates in 7 states: Alaska, California, Montana, Oregon, Washington, Texas, and Wyoming. Employees or caregivers have been given a deadline of November 30th to provide proof of their vaccination. Those who fail to comply with the mandate will be removed from the schedule, placed on unpaid leave, and subject to termination. It goes further to state, employees who choose not to get the vaccination for whatever reason, be it medical, religious, or personal, will find themselves without a job, end quote. Knowing what we know, knowing what you know, knowing what we have seen over the past 3 years under the rigorous dystopian approach to the COVID-19, what are your thoughts? What do you say to this? Where are we going? What does this connote for the fall and the winter in our nation with this taking place?
Dr. Youngblood, this is pure insanity that this hospital system would take that position. There has been too many documented studies. There have been evidence that those who have been vaccinated have experienced very serious side effects, including death. Mm-hmm. And that if these vaccinations were effective in preventing someone from getting COVID, why do you need another one? So apparently they're not effective. And we all know that these masks are medically unnecessary. It's just astounding that they would do that, Dr. Youngblood. But I guarantee you, I was on the board of directors for a hospital chain, which is one of the largest in the U.S., HCA. I was on their board of directors for here in Pensacola for a number of years. In fact, I was chair of the board for a year. And what I've learned about hospital systems is that they are not there so much to take care of sick and hurting people. That's a byproduct. They mm-hmm. are there to make money.
Yes.
That's why those hospitals are there. It's not because they have all this compassion and love for their fellow man. It's because they are there to make money. I guarantee you that there has been some backroom deal made with the Biden administration mm-hmm. that tells these hospitals, you put this mandate in place, and should you start losing employees, who undoubtedly they will, and because of that, you are unable to take in enough patients and unable to make money, we will pay you to do that. Mm-hmm. We'll pay you instead. It's something like the employee retention tax credit for those who kept employees while COVID was going on, that they were paid a certain amount of money for each employee by the government. And I would just about guarantee you, Dr. Youngblood, that this hospital chain has been assured that if you start losing money, or for the number of employees that you do keep, we're going to pay you for it to make sure that their bottom line is not going to go into the red.
Absolutely. And Congressman, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former Representative District 1 of the Florida House. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at headline. Doctors say COVID is indistinguishable from the common cold. This is dated September the 22nd. COVID is becoming so mild that its symptoms now look like the common cold. The most common symptoms of the virus are now sore throat, sneezing, congestion, the same as RSV, asthma, and pollen allergies. The reason is because most Americans are now immune, but yet we are coming up with this, that we're going to shut down schools, we're going to force masking, and that is all on the horizon for the coming months, in my most humble opinion. Congressman, there's a bill, and I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, not had the opportunity to send anything to you on that, but it is Senate Bill 252, introduced and passed, signed into law in April of this year, and it was introduced by Senator Burton, and in the bill, basically what it does, and I've got another headline, says Florida's forced quarantine and forced vaccination law, and is referring back to Senate Bill 252, an 18-page bill. It supplanted and displaced Senate Bill 222, which would have been a stronger bill to protect the citizens in the state of Florida. But Burton introduced this bill, and when asked publicly about why and who was behind it, she said, "It's my bill." Refused to say who the sponsors were, who the pushers were, who the originators were on that bill. But according to the extraction of the basic points in the bill, it says Florida's forced quarantine and forced vaccination law. This is dated September the 18th of this year. The governor and attorney general for the state of New York, this is an introduction, are fighting hard to quarantine camps. They have officially appealed a court's decision blocking them from carrying out such gross human rights violations. Attorney Bobby Ann Cox gave oral arguments against the psychopath authoritarians this past Wednesday on the final date of the appeal. This article reads further. I can only be grateful that I live in a free state of Florida. We fortunately have a Republican governor who are also protected. We are also protected by a Republican supermajority in the legislature. All is good in the Sunshine State. But the article reads, wait, not so fast. We may have a real problem. Further, it states, I'll admit, I was unaware that this law, until Mayor Helms, the Republican Liberty Caucus chair from Franklin County, Florida, brought this to my attention. Mayor's husband, John Helms, banned the jab resolution passed in the Franklin County GOP recently. Let's start with a few legal definitions, this article says, and then it gives the definition of isolation, the definition of quarantine, ordering individuals to be. This bill, Senate Bill 252, authorizes the person to be, an individual to be examined, tested, treated, isolated, to quarantine for communicable diseases that have significant morbidity and present a severe damage or danger to the public health. Individuals who are unable to or unwilling to be examined, tested, or treated for reasons of health, religion, or conscience may be subjected to isolation or quarantine in the state of Florida. And it goes further. If the individual poses a danger to the public health, the state health officer may subject the individual to isolation or quarantine. If there's no practical method to isolate or quarantine the individual, the state health officer may use any means necessary to treat the individual. An order of the state health officer given to effectuate the paragraph is immediately enforceable by law of the enforcement officer under Florida Statute 381.0012. The law appears to actually cede the state's sovereignty to the federal government and creates a convenient backdoor for the World Health Organization to violate the basic human rights of all Floridians. Are you familiar with any of this diatribe and danger posed for the state of Florida?
Yes, I am, Dr. Youngblood. I'm very familiar with it. And you mentioned State Senator Colleen Burton, who, when they asked her, where did this come from? And she said, it's my bill. I'm going to tell you, that's a flat-out lie. I served with Colleen Burton in the Florida House. I sat right next to her. And I can tell you, based on my observation, my discussion with her, she doesn't have an original thought in her head. Mm-hmm. That came from some lobbyist group that may have even have come from Senate leadership who told her to run that bill. She does not run a bill on her own. She never did in the House. I was there. I saw for 2 years, and she does not while she is in the Senate. Colleen Burton is a career politician who is doing what she is told to continue her political career. Now, what we are looking at is there was an attempt to modify the Florida statute to remove this forced quarantine, this forced vaccination of Floridians. And that would have been done with that one Senate bill that you have mentioned. I forget the number of it.
222, I believe it was.
Yes, but the one that Colleen Burton introduced does not remove that. Mm-hmm. And it gives the state of Florida the ability to force vaccinate, to force quarantine anyone who they think is necessary to do so. And don't think that that would just be one individual. It would be a group of individuals. It might be an entire community that they would do that. And you're talking forced vaccination. You're talking about law enforcement holding a gun to your head saying, take this shot or else. Now, that's unconscionable. That should even be allowed in state law anywhere. In Florida, New York, I don't care. That violates our basic rights, our basic human rights to liberty and freedom, which are in our Constitution that God gives us. If I want to be sick, then I'm going to be sick. And you have no right to give me a shot to force me to not do so, especially when we see that these COVID vaccinations that they're talking about are ineffective, they don't work, and have severe side effects.
Yes, that's right. Well, Congressman Hill, I'm amazed that we would say a woman has the freedom of choice, and a woman can murder the baby in the womb, and she has that freedom of choice. And if you recall going back to the origin of that murder by choice, it was based on the fact that there was the liberty, the freedom of consent, the freedom of decision, the freedom of choice. And yet we're told today that those freedoms need to be limited, that the Democrats are saying that we are too free as Americans. And Congressman, one final thing. Our time is gone today. But on the ballot for 2024 in the state of Florida, there will be an amendment. I'm sure you're aware of it. This article states that, as many as you know, Planned Parenthood has been gathering signatures for an abortion amendment to the Florida Constitution. If passed, the amendment will allow unrestricted abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. They've already gotten 800,000 plus signatures to put that on the ballot. Take a moment as we close and challenge our Christian, conservative, patriotic listeners to be aware of this and to be willing to stand and say no as this comes up on the ballot in November of 2024. What should we do as Christians and conservatives?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, two things. One, of course, is that don't sign the stupid petition, which is being paid for by forces outside of the state, including mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood, who receives money from the federal government. But, of course, and then if it does make it on the ballot, and it may, because there are enough irreligious immoral people out there and may get enough signatures to get on the ballot. But should that happen, of course, don't vote for it. But as an alternative, there is a gentleman who was working, his name is Mark Meeks, and he is working with an organization to put on the ballot at the same time a